All month long, we've given this month on Wednesday nights to emphasize missions and how important that is. And I began by sharing with you how Victory Church was began as a missions project and that I came here with a missionary mindset. And, you know, Jesus in the Great Commission, he gives us his permission, he gives us his power, and he gives us his presence. And he expects every single born-again believer to be engaged in sharing with their world what he's done in your life. That's the simplest way for us to evangelize. Last Wednesday night, we had Julie Johnston here sharing with you how incredible the Jesus film is. Somebody accepts Christ every 8 seconds as a result of that film, and it was just amazing. But tonight, it is a tremendous honor and a privilege for me to have one of my dearest friends here with me tonight, and that is Drew Thomas and his lovely wife, Hannah. And they have given their lives to the Lord, given their lives to ministry. Drew's no stranger. He's been with us on a Sunday. He's been with us on a Wednesday. He's just an old cokehead saved by the grace of God. There's some others of us in here like that too. But anyway, Drew has an incredible testimony, and God has brought him out of so much. But he has given his life to spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm not going to steal his thunder tonight. I'm going to let him tell you about it. But would you give Drew and Hannah a big victory welcome tonight as he comes?
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, it's great to be here. As Pastor Josh was saying, I've been here a few times now, and I always feel like home here. Like I feel like I could just walk around the lobby and, you know, whatever, and you guys are just an awesome group of people here. So it's a pleasure for me to be here with you guys to even the topic to speak about the Great Commission. I probably would pick this topic anyway, even if I wasn't asked to talk about this, so it aligns very, very well with my heart. As it does say there in Matthew 28, since we had that scripture up there, I'm going to read it again. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." You see, this Great Commission is for us. Every single believer, this is for us to be applied to our lives. I remember the first time that the Holy Spirit spoke to me concerning this scripture. And if you've heard my testimony before, you know I used to be in drugs and alcohol. I used to be a drug dealer for many years of my life before I gave my life to Christ in prison. And there was a time in my life where I was praying about direction, praying about, "God, what do you want me to do with my life?" I remember reading this scripture and saying, "Well, this is what you want me to do with my life." And at that point, it was a general thing because I was just reading along the scriptures as I would, ending in Matthew, and I'm reading there, and this is what Jesus spoke to me. I thought, well, you know what? I believe in Jesus. I'm his disciple. I'm a follower of his. So God must be calling me in some way to go into the nations with the good news of Jesus Christ, to go forward to make disciples. And so I took a step of faith, and I got permission to go to Colombia, South America, for my first ever mission trip in 2005. And ever since then, I've been all over the world doing the same thing, preaching the same gospel. But I want us to understand that this scripture, this command for us to go into all the world is not a special calling for just special people, just special anointed members of the body of Christ. It's not just for a, quote, missionary to have this missionary heart. It's not just for an evangelist. It's not just for an apostle or a prophet or someone who has a pulpit ministry. This Great Commission is for all of us to be involved in, no matter what we're doing, no matter where we're at in the body of Christ. We all have a part and a role to play in it. And I want you to understand that if you don't ever get this revelation, if you just kind of keep to yourself and kind of come to church and just go through the motions, but don't ever get a revelation or ever get a heart to reach other people with the gospel, your life's never going to be fulfilled. You're going to have emptiness. You're not going to be content just coming to church every week without actually having an outlet for the word that you're receiving. And so we're called not only to salvation ourselves, we're called to be a bringer, a mouthpiece of salvation. This Great Commission is for everybody within the body of Christ. You don't realize how many people out there that God has for you to reach specifically. There are people in your life even right now that are there on purpose, that God is looking to you to speak to them about his son, Jesus Christ. We have a responsibility. There are warnings even about not sharing the good news of Jesus. If you look at Ezekiel 33, it talks about being a watchman on the watchtower, saying that if we don't warn the people to turn from their ways, their blood will actually be on our hands. It's pretty serious. I don't know about you, but I don't want to get to heaven and God's there and he looks at my life and I'm at the judgment seat of Christ and there's all these things that I should have done, all these people that I could have had an impact on, but I was too in my own world. I was too into my own thing, my own self to reach them. And now their blood is required at my hands. Now I have to give an account for why I didn't listen to God, why I wasn't a light to them, why I didn't love them, why I didn't minister to them. I don't want to be that. I don't want to be in that situation. And praise God, we can make that decision today to say, no, Lord, that's not going to be me. I'm going to be the one that says, Lord, here's my life. Here I am. That I will be the feet of Christ. That I'll be the mouthpiece that you're looking to speak through. That I'll be the hands to lay hands on the sick and to see them recover. That we'll be used by God. That we'll be the ones that will be in heaven and there will be people coming up to us saying, hey, thank you for that one time you came up to me and prayed for me. You don't remember who I am, but thank you for praying for me that one day because I remembered that day so vividly and that helped me come to know the Lord because of that simple prayer. Or maybe there'll be people that will come up to you in your life that will say, thank you for inviting me to church. Thank you for inviting me to Victory that one day. Because although I didn't give my life to Christ then, the seed was planted. And months after that, I ended up giving my life to Christ just because you invited me to come to church that one day. I want to be that person. I want people to come up to me into heaven and say, Drew, thank you for preaching the gospel. Thank you for coming to my country. Thank you for coming to my church and sharing the gospel the way you did. Let us have our mind made up that we're going to be used by God and have that testimony about us and have those fruits for us in heaven. Let's look in Psalm 139. Now, there's a general commission that's to the church. We're all called to go into the world and preach the gospel. But I want us to understand tonight that we have a specific call, a specific anointing to reach people with the gospel. Look what it says in Psalm 139, 13 through 18. I really love this set of scriptures here. All of Psalm 139 is just awesome about the plan of God, about his thoughts towards us, his destiny for us. Here's what it says. For you formed me in my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in the number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. I really like what it says there, that it says, in your book, they were all written, the days fashioned for me. Did you ever think of your life in that perspective? You know, our life is not an accident at all. That God has created you and given you a purpose. He's given you a calling. He's given you gifts. He's given you talents. He's given you special abilities, special personalities. He's gifted you with these things. And actually, I believe in heaven, there's an actual book with your name on it that God has of all these amazing and awesome things that he has destined for you to walk out and to do for his glory and for his kingdom. Can you think about that? Now, if you take my example, for many years, I didn't serve the Lord. I didn't know the Lord. So I feel like I had many days that God had fashioned for me that the pages are pretty much just X'd out because I wasn't following the Lord. I was following my own ways. But I really believe the moment that I gave my life to Christ, it was like all those things that I was supposed to do before just kind of got smushed together. And now I got a whole lot more to do with the rest of the book to finish it. Praise God. And so I want us to understand no matter where we are in our walk with God, he has things for us to do. But if we think that, wow, there's a book really with my name, Mark. There's a book with my name, Drew. There's a book with my name, Josh, that's there. And it has my name and it has different things according to the way he's created me, according to the things that he's put inside of me for me to do, for me to walk out. And one of those things that that he has destined for us to do. And one of those things that God wants to use us is in reaching people for his kingdom. There are certain people. Maybe if you look and if you get to heaven one day and you're going to flip through that book and see, wow, let's see what God really had for me to do. You can look up and you can look at the date and you can say, well, it's June 30th, 2016. I have a special appointment with a certain man at Walmart that's going to be there sitting on a bench. And I'm supposed to go up to that man and share the good news with him and share about God and share about how good God is and share the gospel with him. That's actually something that could be set up for us down the road. I want us to understand that the Great Commission, though it's a very general thing, is also a very personal thing to you. Now, again, I know not everybody is called to be an evangelist, maybe. Maybe you don't have a big crusade ministry that God's called you to, but yet you are called to reach people in your sphere of influence. You're called to reach people where you are, on your jobs, in your families. You're called to help support other people that are going out. You're called to help send out missionaries and do your part so that the gospel would go forth into all the world. God said he has a book that all of our days were written in it, all the days that are fashioned for us. I want to know those plans. How about you? I want to know what he has for me. I don't want to miss out on that. What do we have to do? We have to get to know God more. You want to know his plans for you? You have to get to know him more. I really believe that personal evangelism and having a heart for the world comes from having, number one, a heart for God. That's where it starts. Having a heart for God, having a love for God, having a passion for God. Because the closer that you get to God, the more that you realize his love for you personally, it changes you. It really does change you. You start to look at people in a different way. And again, I can relate to my life, obviously, because I lived it. But I know when God saved me, I was so undeserving of being saved. I had nothing good going for me. I was doing nothing good. There was nothing in me that caused God to save me except his own love for me, his own goodness towards me, his own grace towards me. And so when I see the grace of God on the cross, how Christ died for sinners, do you know that Jesus didn't come to save people who are already righteous? You know, God didn't look on the earth and say, you know, there's a bunch of people who are doing pretty well. I'm just going to kind of help them out and give them Jesus and make them do it even better. That's not what the Bible describes as those who are apart from Christ. The Bible talks about how there is none good. There's none righteous. There are none who do what is right, who do what is good. So when Christ came to the earth, he came for those who were in rebellion against him. Even in Romans chapter 5, the description of those apart from Christ are actually God's enemies. He calls us sinners. He calls us ungodly. Those are the ones that Christ came to save. Those are the ones that God actually loved. And so when we see the grace of God in the cross for our life personally, it should transform us. It should motivate us. Even in 2 Corinthians, we're going to read later, it says that the love of Christ compels us. That, wow, God, you loved me when I didn't deserve it. You gave me hope. You gave me salvation. You gave me a home built for me in heaven when I didn't deserve it. So I want to have that same love, not only just to me, but I want to have that love through me to reach those people who are lost and dying, those people who are in the same position that maybe I once was. And so let's get into the heart of God. Let's get to know him more, because the more that we know him, the more his love transforms us, the more we're going to have a heart for the nations and a heart for reaching people. I remember there was a time where I was in Colombia. I was teaching a course on evangelism, and I like to take the students out after every class and just do street evangelism. Just go out in the streets of Bogota, hand out tracts, share the good news with people, and see what happens, see what God can do. And I had a translator there, and she was translating for me. And she told me this story after class had gotten done. And she said, you know, I really didn't want to go out that night. I just didn't feel, you know, I just didn't feel like going out of my comfort zone. I didn't want to go up and talk to strangers. She said, but the whole class was going out, so I thought I might as well go out and do something and be of some use. And so she got herself up together, got some tracks, and went out there. And she said, there was a lady who was about a half a block away. I caught eyes with her, and for some reason, she just reminded me of my mother, and so I don't know, I just had compassion for her, so I wanted to try to talk to her. And so I went up to her, and I began to talk to her and said, hey, how are you doing? I just wanted to share about God with you. Would you have a few minutes? And she said right away, as soon as I said that I want to talk to you about God, she said the lady started to cry right away. And so she said, what's wrong? Why are you crying? What did I do? What did I say? Why are you crying? And this lady, this random stranger she just had met, said, you don't understand. I was just walking around the city right now. I was just thinking about how bad my life is, how messed up everything is. I'm having problems with my boyfriend, and my life is just not the way I want it to be, and everything's a mess. And right before you walked up to me, I was just thinking in my head, God, do you even know that I exist? And then you came up and wanted to talk to me about God. And she said, the lady was just there in tears. She ended up telling her all about God's love, all about what he did for her on the cross. And she ended up giving her life to Christ right there in the streets of Bogota. You see, there are people out there like that who God has placed in our life, that we are the ones that have the awesome privilege of bringing the good news to. We have the privilege of being the mouthpiece of God to that person, to bring them to Christ. You see, there's people in our life that God has in that book written for us to go out and reach for his kingdom. Hallelujah. One other point that I want to make along these lines that I really feel necessary to talk about these days is the need for Jesus. Sometimes we go to church many times and we hear many good things, but we forget that the world really does need Jesus. I mean, it's a messed up place out there. Some people will say something like, well, if God's really good, if God's really in control, why is the world so messed up? Why is there so many wars and crimes and everything else? How could there really be a God if the world is the way it is? And if anything, to me, it proves the fact that there is a God, because God had given us everything in the Garden of Eden. We disobeyed and broke his commandments. We sinned against him, and because of sin, death spread to everything. And so this world is a result of the fall. You see it everywhere. You see sickness, disease, you see crime, you see poverty, you see all these things. It's not the way it's supposed to be. The world is not the way it should be. And see, what we do when we go out and we preach the gospel and we get someone to turn from their sin and to believe in Jesus Christ, it's like we're turning everything right side up. You know, the apostles in the book of Acts, they were accused of, they went to a city one time, and there was other people there, and they were saying, those who turn the world upside down have come here also. Wouldn't that be an awesome testimony to have when we go out and say, oh, those people from Victory, oh, those ones that have turned the world upside down, now they're coming into our town and coming into our city? What were they saying? To the worldly standards, they're saying they're turning everything upside down, but the apostles, through the preaching of the gospel, they were turning everything right side up and actually putting it the way it was supposed to be in the beginning, with our lives living for the glory of God, with our lives in fellowship and harmony with our Creator. And so what we're called to do is that same type of thing. We're called to turn the world upside down for the glory of God. And that's what we do when we go out with the gospel. But the world is in need of a Savior. The world is in need, and I want you to understand that there is no other hope of salvation but through Jesus Christ. It says that in Acts 4:12, there's no other name under heaven by which we may be saved but the name of Jesus. I want us to understand how important that is in the culture we live in. We live in a culture in America today that is very politically correct. It's very there's not any absolute truth. Well, yeah, that God stuff is good for you, but this is good for me. Everything is just all jumbled up together. There's no definite truth. But I want us to understand that the truth of God's word is truth no matter who believes it or doesn't believe it. If you don't believe in gravity, that's fine, but if you walk off the edge of a building, you're going to believe in it very quickly. God's word is true no matter who believes in God or who doesn't believe in God. And I want us to understand that the truth of Christ and him crucified is the only way someone can be saved. The only way. People will say things like, well, are you saying that God's going to just send people to hell, good, innocent people to hell, just because they don't believe in Jesus? I'm not saying that. God won't send good, innocent people to hell, because there are no good, innocent people according to the scriptures. The word of God says that we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There are none who does good, no, not even one. And so we all need a Savior. Every one of us has messed up. Every one of us has broken God's commandments. Everybody out there. So Jesus is the only hope that we have. Why? Because he came to the earth. He lived an innocent life. He lived a life that we should have lived. If you think about the gospel and how amazing it is, Jesus lived a perfect life, never broke the law of God, never broke his commandments. He lived a life that we should have lived. We lived the total opposite of that. We broke God's commandments. We're sinners. We're all those things that the Bible says about us. Constantly, people are breaking his commandments. But when someone turns from their sin and they believe the gospel, they believe that Jesus died on the cross for their sins, was buried, and rose from the dead. When they believe that and trust in that, God counts the righteousness. He counts the life that Jesus lived and says, Drew, you lived that life. He looks at you and says, you lived the life that Jesus did because Jesus took the punishment for the sinful life that we lived. Isn't that amazing? God did that not because he had to. Do you understand that? If God would have said, you know what? They messed up. Those people have messed everything up. I'm just going to leave them, go on to hell. He would have been totally just in doing that. But yet God, justice and love, justice and mercy met together at the cross. And not only is God just in the punishment for sin taken care of, but we have a forgiveness of sins. We have a new restoration with God. We have a new hope. We can be made new creatures because Christ has made a way because he died and rose again. And so Jesus, though, is the only way that we can be saved. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except through him. We have to see that we can't just think about people in other nations or people around the corner, even in our hometown, and think, well, maybe there's some other way. You know, maybe religion is just, they're all the same. It's just different sides of the mountain. That's not the way it is. Jesus said there is a narrow way, straight and narrow is the path that leads to life, and there are few who find it. But broad and wide is the path that leads to death, and many go that way. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. We have to understand that. We can't just think, well, you know, other people, they're doing pretty good. They'll make it to heaven somehow. No, they won't. They won't make it without Christ. They won't make it without the gospel, and they won't hear the gospel unless the body of Christ, unless we bring them the good news of Jesus. We have to see that responsibility. We have to own it and say, yes, Lord, I'm here to be a light. I'm here for a reason. I'm here for a purpose. I'm not just here for myself. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And the reason I feel the need to even mention some of those things is because even in church circles, we have churches that can say, well, yeah, Jesus is good. He's important. But in the end, They'll get to heaven some other way. They'll get there somehow. It's just not true. Jesus is the only way. We all need him. We all need a savior from our sin, and we need to continue to preach that, no matter who comes against us. The message of the gospel was never popular. It never was popular ever in the days of the apostles. It wasn't popular. It wasn't popular in the days of Charles Finney or John Wesley or George Whitefield and those guys. It never was popular. The message of the cross is even foolishness to them that are perishing. So we need to preach the truth no matter who is for or who is against that truth. If God is for us, who can be against us? As long as we're pleasing to him, we don't need to be pleasing to man. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, for the love of Christ compels us because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Praise God. Do you know that we're called not to live for ourselves any longer? If you want to live for Christ, you can't live for yourself. That's the truth. We can't have both, because sometimes our desires get in the way. Our thinking gets in the way. But when we live for him, we can say it's no longer about me. As Paul said, it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ in me, who loved me, who was crucified for me. Verse 16, therefore, for now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. I like that. We regard no one according to the flesh. Sometimes we think of people, oh, yeah, they go to church, they're saved. I know they were baptized before. Well, are they born again? Are they really walking with Christ? Is there fruit? Is there evidence of salvation in their life? Maybe they need to hear the gospel again. Verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Praise God for that. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. You see, we have been saved so that we can save others. We have been given new life so that we can give new life to others. God has forgiven our sins so that we, through the preaching of the gospel, can have other people's sins forgiven too. And God has given us a ministry. We need to think of ministry like this. It's not just Pastor Josh who's called to ministry. All of you right here sitting now are called to ministry. I'll say it again. It's not just Pastor Josh who's called to ministry. It's not just the leaders of the church who are called to ministry. Everybody sitting in this room is called to ministry. Right there it says it in the Word of God, that God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. What does that mean? Well, God has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and now he expects us to go out and to do the same through the preaching of the gospel. In verse 20 says, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We as the body of Christ, individually, corporately, we're called to be the mouthpiece of God, speaking out to the world saying, hey, listen, you don't have to die and go to hell. You don't have to take the punishment for your sins. Someone has already done that for you. All you have to do is turn and believe. Look unto Jesus and he will save you. We are called to be that mouthpiece. We are called to be that witness of Christ in all the earth. That's the purpose of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Praise God for speaking in tongues. Praise God for a supernatural prayer language. But that's not the main function of being filled with the Holy Spirit. We're called to be witnesses of Jesus that will receive power from on high. And then we'll be witnesses of Christ in all the ends of the earth. This is why we have the power of the Holy Spirit. So God has given you a ministry, and he's also given you the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit to be with you, to reside on the inside of you, to give you the power to accomplish and to fulfill your ministry. Now again, not everyone has the same ministry. Not everyone is called to do the same thing, but the talents that you have, the callings that you have, maybe you have a heart for children. Well, praise God for that, because those children need the gospel too. They need the love of God. They need to hear about the gospel. And so whatever talents God has given you, whatever giftings he has given you, you should be using in a way that would glorify him and that would lead people to the Savior, because they are in need of him, and we are there to be the ones that can bring them the good news. I'll never forget when I was in India. I was just about leaving, and I taught 2 weeks in a class there. And I spent most of my time with the Christians there in India and just teaching them different subjects of the Bible. And I didn't get to be out much in the public. I didn't really get to talk to anybody, you know, anybody who needed the Lord. And so it was the end of the trip there, and we were outside at a van, and a couple of young kids came up to me, and they wanted to talk English. They were teenagers, I think. And so it was awesome. We were there talking, and I was just explaining to them what I'm doing here, how I came to teach the Bible and things like that. And they're all Hindu kids, you know, they're all just there, about 15 of them. We're not talking now, this is before, they're just talking about, like, I'm from Pennsylvania and I'm from America and I like just different things like that, just random subjects. And out of the blue, before we even talked about God or anything, a little girl, probably about 9 years old, just came out of the blue and just said, can you tell us the story of Jesus? I'm like, really? Out of all the things you're asking me, can I tell you the story of Jesus? And it just stuck with me so strongly. I'm like, yeah, absolutely. I'll tell you all about the story of Jesus. So right there, I had an opportunity to share the gospel with about 15 of them. And I ran up into the house, and they had the new birth book by Brother Hagin in Hindi. And I gave like 20 of them out to all these kids on the street there and got to be a testimony of Christ there. But think about that. How many people are out there in the world, in your life, that can somebody tell me about Jesus? Can somebody tell me the story of Jesus? If we won't go, nobody else is going to give it to him. If we won't go, God's not going to just send angels to him. We can't just pray, Lord, just let angels come. Just let them have dreams of you. I mean, if that happens, that's great, but that's not what God has called us to do. He's called us to go. He's given us the ministry. He's given us the anointing. He's given us the power of the Holy Spirit to go forth with the good news of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, that's what I have for us here tonight. I want you to understand that I'm here for you guys. If you need prayer about anything, if you have a call to missions, I really want to pray over you. I really have a heart to pray over those who have a call to missions because I have a call to missions myself. And so if you have any type of need for prayer after the service, after it's dismissed, I'm going to be over here and I want to pray with you. For whatever you have need of, I'll pray with you. I want to get a few minutes to talk about something that God's doing in my life, and there's a video that I want to show to you, and then I'm just going to talk a few minutes about the video. Amen?
So I spent 4 years of my life as a drug dealer, as a rebel against God, you know, 14 to 18 years old. I believed in God in my mind. I believed the existence of God, but I wouldn't surrender to Him as Lord and Savior. I just wanted to do my own thing. After all the drug dealing and all the sin in my life, after all the things that kind of snowballed and all added up, I ended up going to prison for drug trafficking, got pulled over, got arrested for having half a pound of marijuana in my car. But it was there in prison where I gave my life to Christ. It was there where I finally surrendered, turned from my sin, and saw my great need for Jesus in my life. So I was given an opportunity to go to Colombia, invited by some missionaries to go to Colombia for 3 weeks. And while I was there, that was my first mission trip that I ever been on. The first time I got to preach, the first time I saw how my personal testimony could impact others to put their faith in Christ, the first time I saw people being healed, miracles taking place, and God was using me, of all people, a 21-year-old kid who was just off house arrest for drug possession. And so that trip changed my life forever because I knew from that point on that God had called me into ministry and I wanted to spend the rest of my life sharing the gospel with people so that they could receive what I had received in prison. During that trip to Colombia, as I felt the call to full-time ministry, I applied for Rhema Bible Training College. And so it was there where I met my awesome wife, Hannah, and we knew each other the first year, but the second year is when we actually started dating, and it happened pretty quickly, but praise God, she said yes, and now she's my wife. And 5 years later, we had a beautiful little girl named Zoe. Brazil had never really even crossed my mind. It was almost like I feel like it was just a mist there for all the other years of my life. But then probably about a year and a half ago, around then, it just started really surfacing in my heart. Things started coming up, and then I started to meet some Brazilian people. Passion kept welling up and welling up and welling up. And to the point where I felt that I really loved Brazil. I really loved the people even before I knew the people. Even before I was there, God had given me a heart for that nation.
Drew's traveled a lot, and I had the opportunity to go with him a couple times because I was going to school at that time. So I got to experience how God moved in Colombia, and last June, our daughter Zoe got to experience God with us, and because of her, we were able to witness to other people as well.
I remember calling Hannah and saying, you need to come with me, you need to be here, we need to take our daughter Zoe with us, and we have to see if this is of God and what's going on here. And so November of 2013, I took my wife and 18-month-old baby to Brazil. I wanted Hannah to get firsthand and let her really meet the people and be around the culture and really see if this is God calling us here. And so it was there in November of 2013 that we both knew as a couple, and Zoe loved the country too, that this was something that God was calling us to move there as full-time missionaries. So we are really excited about what God's going to do in Brazil, through Brazil, and to bless the rest of the world.
All right, praise God. So, yes. So that's what God is doing in our lives right now. So we've spent this whole year planning on getting everything ready to go to Brazil. I think about when we moved to our first house, how big of a deal that was in our own hometown, and going to another country is a whole lot to get done. But we're doing it, taking steps of faith, and we actually plan on moving to Brazil in January or February of next year. And so it's coming up really quickly. And so we're believing God for a lot of things and believing God for new partners to help us get down to Brazil. So I just wanted to ask you if God would in any way put that on your heart that you wanted to partner with us in any way to help us get to Brazil. We have a way that you could do that. We definitely have some brochures, some other things over here. I also have my testimony, my full testimony of how I came to know the Lord over there. They're free for you to take. We just ask that you would sign up for our newsletter, keep you involved with what's going on. And so we're going to Brazil, and I just I'm excited about what he's going to do there. One of the great things about Brazil is that they really have a special calling for missions in Brazil. And so I really feel like as one who has a heart for missions now, I'm being sown as a seed in Brazil so that many other missionaries can be birthed into other nations of the world. That's really my heart right there. There was a time that I was in worship, and God spoke to me, and I was thinking about the revival that's going on in Brazil. I mean, there's just amazing things happening there. Revival fires taking place in Brazil. And he said, you're called to add gasoline to the fire and to funnel it to the nations. And so that's what I'm going to do. I don't know exactly how that looks like. I'm going to be working with the Rhema schools there and doing a lot of teaching and evangelistic things. But my heart is to get the Brazilians to go forward with the gospel into all the ends of the earth. So, amen. Well, I thank you for your time here. Thank you so much to Pastor Josh and Marsh for having me. It's such a blessing to be here. Awesome thing you guys have going on here. So thank you.
Praise God. Were y'all blessed by Drew's ministry tonight? Well, he's an evangelist from the word go. And, you know, I know there are some of you here tonight that God has laid it upon your heart to sow a seed into them. I know we're going to tonight. We're going to sow into them. We've supported missionaries here and there throughout the years, but we're going to take Drew and Hannah on for next year and support them monthly, and I challenge you to pray about that. If God asks you to do that, be obedient to that. And don't think that my gift is too small, whatever it might be. If it's $5 a month, if it's $10 a month, whatever it might be. Because I told you, there's only two kinds of people. There's missionaries and there's mission fields. And we're all either called to go or to send. Amen? And so I challenge you to be a part of that and be a part of their ministry and Hannah. And I'm going to ask you both if you'd just come up with me tonight. And we want to pray with y'all this evening. And then when I release you, Hannah will be there at their product table. And I encourage you to just stop by and let them know what tonight meant for you. And also to sign up for their monthly publication if you're interested. And then also, if God's laid it on your heart to sow into their ministry, do that. Because it takes ministry. Yeah. That's a cross between money and ministry. It takes ministry. That's exactly what it takes. This didn't get to Troy, PA without people who God touched their hearts sowing into this work. Okay? So for vision to come to pass, you got to have provision. And we're the ones that God uses to provide. But would you stand with me this evening and reach your hands this way in faith? Let's lift up this couple to God tonight. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we praise you tonight for Drew and for Hannah and for Zoe. And God, in the name of Jesus, thank you for the anointing. Thank you for the mantle. Thank you for the commission and the calling. Thank you that they walk in your power, God. I thank you that the ability they have comes from you. I thank you that you have equipped them as ministers of the gospel. I thank you that you have given them the ability to be effective, Father. I thank you tonight in the name of Jesus, God, for their lives, for their obedience. And Father, we just ask in the name of Jesus that you would provide, that you would meet every need. God, we bind discouragement in the name of Jesus. We know that opposition will come. It's not the opposition we're concerned about, but Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would strengthen them and bolster their spirit today, that they would know that greater is the one living in them than anything they face in this journey. And Father, that you would give them the strength, just like the Apostle Paul, to fight for every inch of the kingdom you have ordained for them to take for your glory. Every soul that you have put out there for them to reach, God, every life that you've ordained for them to touch, every disciple you've called them to make. I thank you for making those connections. Thank you that the doors you open, no man can close, and the doors you close, no man can open. God, we thank you tonight, and we praise you, and we give you all the glory. We apply the precious blood of Jesus over their lives, spirit, soul, and body. We pronounce them blessed and prosperous in every way, every day. In Jesus' name we ask it. And all God's people said, amen. If you're here tonight and you need prayer in your body in any area, I'd love for Drew to pray with you. He's an anointed vessel of God. He's going to be right here. Drew, if you could just join me over on my right. And then if you would like to see Hannah and have more information or sign up or donate towards them, or even if you can't give tonight, you want to sign up to donate later on, that would be fine. I'm going to pray over you, and then we're going to go. Before we do, Drew, I just feel the unction to ask tonight. Why don't you extend salvation to someone here who may not be ready to meet Jesus, who may have thought that I'm just a good person and that's enough. Would you tell them how to get saved?
Yeah, amen. Well, as what happened in my life with my testimony, you know, I was a drug dealing sinner, and I had nothing good going for me, and that's all that I knew was sin. But the thing is, not everyone has that testimony. Some people are think that, well, I'm a pretty good person. I'm a pretty moral person. But as I said before, we're all sinners. We all have lied. We all have lusted. We all have done things we shouldn't. We all have stolen something. We all have disobeyed our parents. We have broken God's commands. We've broken His laws. And because of that breaking of His laws, the punishment for that sin is death. It's eternal death. And hell would be our place if God would just end our life without Christ. That's where it would be. That's where I would have went when I was in prison. But see, God loved us. He loves us even now, and He sent us a Savior. He sent His very own Son to die on the cross for our sins. He doesn't want us to perish. He's not willing that we should perish. He's shown that. He's proven His love for us by sending His very best, by sending His only Son to die in your place. Think about that. I didn't deserve that, but He sent His Son to hang on the cross that I should have hung on for my sin. And so today, God invites you to come to Him. He invites you. You haven't gone too far. There's nothing that you have done that could keep you away from Him. The Word of God says that He will not cast away. He will not reject all who come to Him. If you come, you're guaranteed to be saved. If you come to Him, you're guaranteed to receive salvation. So today, come to Him. I want to implore you to come. Come meet me down front here. Come and talk with me. Surrender your life to Him. He is mighty to save. He will forgive you. He will love you. He will wipe your slate clean through the blood of Jesus Christ. Come to Him. Don't delay. Don't delay.
Father, in the name of Jesus, thank You so much for our time together tonight. And in Jesus' name, I ask that You would protect and keep us as we go. For that one who is here tonight that You just spoke to and that You desire to save, I pray that they would come.